keeping these experimental vocalizations to a whisper makes sense if you want to avoid attracting predators to your nest. And South American parrots are not the only ones that do it. Berg has since found that the babies of another type of parrot, one that lives in Mexico and southern Texas, also babble, in work that he'll be presenting at the Animal Behavior Society's annual meeting this summer. Now, as to what all this babbling is about, Berg says it's not likely a form of social communication, because the birds often do it when no one else is listening.
Of course, a better explanation for what they're doing is that they're practicing and possibly adjusting the way they make certain calls as they get a better handle on what they're hearing, presumably by watching and listening to adults as they interact.
So, in addition to producing the standard feed me chirps, the babies are tossing out contact calls, like the ones adults use to coordinate their movements, alarm calls, like the ones that ring out when a parrot spots a snake or a hawk, and warbling calls that are produced to defend the nest. But in babbling, all these calls are just sort of jumbled together, without any readily identifiable purpose or context. It's like a rehearsal for when the birds really do have nests to defend, behaviors to coordinate, and predators to warn about.
So babbling is a medley, a tossed salad of all these different calls that either are already or will eventually be used in more specific functional contexts.
Berg also found that a babbling parrot's playlist can be boosted by steroids.
By giving a modest dose of corticosterone to nestlings twice a day for a week, we were able to show that the corticosterone-treated nestlings had a larger repertoire.
Well, that makes sense because stress hormones are key to coordinating a baby bird's growth and maturation. Now, as to whether having a more extensive songbook might be beneficial.
It's quite possible. A large repertoire in songbirds has been shown to be advantageous in numerous ways related to reproduction.
To find out if the same is true for parrots, Berg will continue to observe his oldest feathered friends.
One way we can figure that out is by continuing the long-term ecological monitoring, where we capture essentially every individual in the population and put unique color bands on them.
That way, Berg and his colleagues can assess whether the parrots who had the widest vocabulary in their baby days
are the movers and shakers in parrotlet society today.
At least as evidenced by their reproductive success, which would be something to crow about. Science Quickly is produced by Jeff Delvisio, Tulika Bose, and Kelso Harper. Subscribe wherever you get your podcasts, and visit scientificamerican.com for updated and in-depth science news. For Scientific American's Science Quickly, I'm Karen Hopkins.